from Los Angeles, California, from our house to your house. You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web, broadcasting live tonight from Los Angeles, California, and other parts of the world. And if this is the first time you've listened to the show, then you should know that when you listen to this show, you turn the lights down low. Here she is.
Okay. Wow. How do I know when I'm here? Unless you say, here she is. Okay. Okay. So I am here. And who am I?
Oh, and this is Dr. Susan Block.
That's who I am. And I'm also your love doctor. Why do my sound sounds weird? I also hear some sound of something making a big noise. Is that over there?
Yeah, that's there, but I don't know why you hear it tonight.
Because somehow I can't hear. I guess I'm not hearing too well in my earphones, maybe?
I don't know.
Something is a little bit wrong. So maybe, I don't, well, it doesn't, I mean, I hear that noise, and it's very, very loud.
Okay,
loud.
No louder than ever before.
Okay, well, okay. So anyway, I just keep hearing it, and it's in my ears. But, okay, that's better. That's better, what you just did. Improved the sound of my voice.
Okay.
So now I can hear that
All right.
Little louder than that other sound, but
okay.
That other sound is still there. Okay, so anyway.
That's you know what the sound is. That's the inside of an alien spaceship.
I was thinking it sounded like something.
If you listen carefully.
A little alien, but
That's what it sounds like.
I think it's just a computer.
When I had my encounter with the aliens, that's the sound I heard.
You had an encounter with the aliens.
As I was climbing up the steps, yeah.
Did you have this last night or this morning?
No, I had this years ago. I was climbing up the steps. No, actually, I'm confused. I was climbing up to the steps to the hooker's house, to the bordello.
That's what you're thinking
right,
of.
Right.
And you're thinking that the steps to the hooker's house was really to an alien spaceship.
Could possibly be, because I had an immediate orgasm about halfway up the stairs as she was guiding me in this very dark Genoa little apartment.
Uh-huh. And you just mistook that for an alien spaceship?
Just now I did.
Just now, not at the time.
Not at the time. But now that I think about it, I learned a lot. I was given the secret when I got up there.
Yeah, but people just don't think it's any big deal to receive the secret from a hooker. From an alien.
I guess not.
From an alien, they either think that is the answer to so many of life's mysteries, they think you're nuts. A hooker, they just think you're, you know, your garden variety pervert.
Hookers have a lot of information.
Well, yeah, hookers
they
do.
They have a lot of
teachers,
secrets,
you know.
So it could be a hooker.
Gardeners. A lot of people have secrets, but these are people as opposed to aliens. Aliens are not people.
So we should just say that the reason we're talking about aliens is because we had the Raelians.
The Raelians. That rhymes with aliens.
Right, last
on
night.
On last night.
And that was, so if you want to listen to that show, that happened to be the 4th, right?
April 4th, yeah.
No, on the 5th. On the 5th.
No.
Saturday. No, it was Friday.
It's Friday. Tonight is Saturday night if you're listening to us live. This is the Dr. Susan Block Show on Radio Suzy One. On the World Wide Web, if you're listening to us live on drsusanblock.com, you can give us a call at 1-866-289-7068 if you're in North America. That's our toll-free number. Anywhere else in the world, it's 213-749-1330. And in Skype, you can just put yourself into waiting, and we'll put you into listening.
And, you know, I actually happen to believe in aliens.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I joke about it.
I mean,
and
I
so
don't
forth.
Disbelieve in them.
No, I truly believe in them. I think
well, what
they exist.
When you say you believe in them, does that mean you believe that they have come to Earth already and they are continuing to come to
Most
Earth?
Most definitely. And I also believe that not only that, and I truly believe this, is that aliens are amongst us.
Okay, so the whole kind of the way the television and movies present them as
in a way,
being amongst
yeah.
us.
I do believe that some people are from other planets, from other areas of the world.
You found me out.
You see?
See?
There's a certain thing about them, a certain magic.
About us.
About aliens. Unlike humans.
I don't know. I think that's just charisma. Well, anyway, we have Larry from New York on line 2.
Larry from New York on line 2. Let's see if I can get Larry from New York on line 2.
This is a show about sex, by the way, not just about aliens.
Larry?
Hi, Larry. Hello, Larry. Here is little voice in a very tiny way.
We're trying to fix it.
Hello?
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry. Hello there.
Yeah.
Okay, hi. That's a little
okay,
better.
Okay, a little bit better. Whoa.
Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah.
Okay, Larry, what did you want to talk about?
Anything about sex.
Excuse me?
Anything about sex.
How about alien sex?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Anything.
Okay, so tell me what you would imagine alien sex would be like. Sex with an alien.
Like out of this world, kind of like crazy orgasm.
An out of this world crazy orgasm. And do you think that it would be like an alien woman that you would be having sex with, or do you think that it would be like a bunch of aliens capturing you and holding you down on an examination table and making you feel incredibly profound, intense sexual responses?
Yeah, that.
About the second one?
Second one, yes.
Yeah, that I think is the common fantasy about alien sex, is that you're kind of forced to experience. Except I can't hear him.
He wants to talk about interracial sex.
Well, you know, that's related to alien sex,
well,
I guess.
That's interracial.
Yeah, that's certainly interracial. At the very least, interspecies, I guess, yeah. Or, you know.
You're what? What'd you say?
Larry.
What did you say? You're what?
Yeah, I'm white, and I always fantasize about having sex with black women.
Okay.
You're white, and you like black women. Have you ever had sex with black women?
No, but I fantasize about it a lot.
You fantasize about it. Are you married or single, Larry?
Single.
And how come you don't have sex with black women? Or how come you don't have any black girlfriends?
No, I don't know. It's just like I hang out with predominantly white people. So, like, yeah.
Ah, so maybe that's why the fantasies are so intense for you, because you're so sort of segregated.
Yeah.
So it's almost like black people are aliens to you.
Yeah, kind of. I guess so, yeah.
Yeah. So you fantasize about black women giving you these incredible orgasms.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make you want to seek out and get to know a black woman and see what she's like in bed? I mean...
No, like, I kind of just want to, like a one-night stand kind of thing. I don't want, like, a relationship.
A one-night stand type of thing. And so you're not in a relationship right now?
No.
Are you a good-looking guy?
Yes.
You are?
I could.
Well, why can't you just go to a bar and pick one up, then?
Well, yeah, I can. I mean, I was at a bar tonight, and I hooked up with two girls tonight, but I just don't want a relationship.
The girls wanted a relationship?
Yeah, he doesn't want a relationship with a black girl or a white girl.
I just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, okay, but, so, you could, okay, well, do you want to have sex with a black girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't sound like you really do. It sounds like you just want to fantasize about it.
No, I really do, like.
You really do?
I really don't care about who I have sex with.
You don't care who you have sex with? But you just said that you were really turned on by the idea of interracial sex, you being a white guy having sex with a black woman. That sounds like you care.
Because it's out of the ordinary. Like, I would do anything out of the ordinary.
Right, even with the alien. Well, how about,
yeah.
Like, a Asian woman or a, you know...
Well, I don't really like Asian women. Like, I'm not turned on to Asian women.
Oh, so there you go. So you do care. You have your specific preferences.
Yeah.
So how can I help you?
No, I just wanted to talk about like stuff like this.
Okay, well...
Well, okay, it's very common. It's not uncommon nowadays. And, you know...
Another thing I'm really trying on by is like a woman's feet.
Ah, feet, yes.
Feet. Pedicured feet? Pretty feet?
Yeah.
Big feet or little feet?
Little.
Little feet. Mm-hmm.
You should go and buy a book by a photographer called
Ed... It really doesn't matter if they're big or little, as long as they're nice.
Right, they gotta be nice.
Nice feet.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I hate feet with scabs on them and corns and...
There is
bunions.
A great book you were about to talk about that
just
by
out.
A photographer who has exhibited work in our gallery. His name is Ed Fox, and it's called Ed Fox Glamour from the Ground Up. And it's published by Taschen Books. And it's all about, well, it's basically Ed Fox's beautiful photography of women, some of the most beautiful women around nowadays. And it kind of focuses on their feet. He's a foot fetishist, but he believes in showing the whole woman, not just the feet. But the feet are, it's kind of like he shows the whole woman, but the feet are the stars of each photo.
And the there's another book that Taschen published, and I can't think of his name. You have
Elmer Batters.
Elmer Batters.
Elmer Batters.
The book comes with a stocking.
Right.
As
right.
A bookmark, and
he
it's
loves women in stocking feet.
Also published by. You like stockings?
Oh, this Elmer Batters book is tremendous, and it uses a stocking as a bookmark.
So you can get that at the Taschen bookstore in New York.
There you go. And we don't work for Taschen.
Right.
We almost did. we had a visit from Benedict Taschen years ago.
Right. Okay.
I also have a fantasy about like older women.
Older women. Mm-hmm. How old are you?
I'm 20.
Oh, you're 20. Only 20. Okay. Well, then, you know, there's a lot of older women.
I like women like over 40. Like.
Yeah, I do too.
Uh-huh.
That's always been my fetish.
So. There's an older black woman with great feet.
Right.
Somewhere in your erotic future. I see it in my crystal ball.
Yeah.
So you picked up two girls. What happened? Anything happen? I mean, have you had sex before?
Sure.
I said, have you had sex before?
I can't hear you.
He wants to know if you're... A virgin, or have you had sex?
No, yeah, I had sex.
Uh-huh, okay. Something happened there.
No, I'm just checking.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yeah,
I've had sex.
All right, okay, well.
Well, you're young. You're actually younger than I thought you were.
Right, so you got lots of time.
Yeah, lots of time.
To find.
To be with black, white, Asian.
Aliens.
Aliens. Raelians.
You might look into the Raelian. Religion, actually. They got a lot of hot chickies.
Oh, a lot of hot chickies of all different nationalities and races. Definitely. It's very international. So.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to let you go because I think we've covered a lot of ground with you.
We'll talk more about it.
Interracial sex.
Are you listening on...
Alien sex.
Where are you listening? On the internet?
Really?
How are you listening to the program, or are you listening? Are you on the internet?
How am I listening?
Yeah.
Over the phone.
Ah, okay.
He's over the phone.
No problem.
Okay.
You take care. Have a great rest of the weekend there, okay? And say hello to New York for me. Bye.
All right. Alien sex, interracial sex. That's another thing that fascinates people, I think, about the alien sex, is that it takes... it a step farther than interracial sex.
Right.
Or even interspecies sex.
Right.
Because the aliens aren't even a species. They're like out of this world.
Right.
They're from another world. Interworld sex.
Phones are ringing.
Phones are ringing.
Ringing and a singing and a...
And feet, yeah. Ed Fox's book is very cool. And we celebrated it at the Taschen Bookstore in Beverly Hills. And there's pictures
what's
of
going on
Ed's
here
book
with phones?
And
phones
the book party
phones here.
On the blog. right now, as well as pictures of May Victoria doing a radio show last week, which was quite incredible. She came twice, big time, two big, beautiful orgasms right on the monkey rocker with a pocket rocket.
Okay, we got a lot of calls coming in from here.
Yeah, anybody on the line, actually?
There's two people on hold, but I don't know what that's about.
Okay.
But we're going to find out. So in the meantime, you're listening to Radio Suzy 1 on the World Wide Web, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California. And we've got Armando from Los Angeles on line 3.
Armando.
Yes. Hello, Armando.
Is it Armando or Orlando or Rando?
Orlando.
Oh, Orlando.
Or hey. Orlando?
Yeah, how you doing?
Orlando.
O-R-A-N-D-O?
Yeah.
Orlando.
No, it's R-O.
R-O.
L.
Orlando, Susan.
You mean O-R-L. Orlando.
Rolando.
Rolando. Okay.
Yeah, Rolando.
Everybody had it wrong. Yeah. Okay, Rolando.
How you doing, Rolando?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, we're just hanging out. How you doing?
I'm trying to get some advice, actually.
Okay.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, I actually just told the other lady. Oh, it's not the same lady? Okay, yeah, well.
This
you
know, is Dr. Susie.
A mate or whatever, and I'm in bed or whatever, you know, before we get to, like, actually inserting the penis in. I'm all good. I'm nice and hard. But once I do stick it in, like, I don't know, something, I don't know, mentally or whatever, I lose it, and like I don't even come. I just get all wobbly.
Right. How old are you?
I'm 20.
20. Well, that's pretty young to just lose it. But it sounds like it's because you're scared of something.
No. I've been with this girl for 2 years.
Okay. That doesn't mean you're not scared of something.
Oh, but what is there to be afraid of, you know? Like,
yeah, well, I don't know what there is to be afraid of. You have to tell me.
Oh, well, that's a demon of mine that I don't know.
There's a demon, or maybe you're afraid. Do you want to marry this girl? Do you want to be with this girl?
Oh, definitely.
Maybe you're a little bit afraid of that, though. Maybe it's too serious for you right now.
Hey, is this on air?
You are on the air.
And where is this, on the air at? Like L.A. or stuff, or what?
Well, right now you're on the internet. You're on drsusanblock.com.
Okay.
Okay? And I would say, you know, maybe you should just, you don't need to get pregnant or anything, so why don't you just have sex outside of intercourse?
Outside of the what?
Just do outer course.
Oh, that's good to know, but I want the whole enchilada, but it's just...
Well, it doesn't sound like all of you wants the whole enchilada, and the penis is a very perverse member of the team that is your body. So sometimes you have to go against what you want.
Would you recommend, like, Viagra at all?
I don't recommend Viagra for a young man 20 years old, especially since it doesn't sound like you have a physical problem.
Right. It's just something in my head, right?
Yeah, something in your head. So... you have to just kind of calm down and not make yourself go in there. You have to just relax and do things without going inside. How about oral sex?
Hey, one question. I got this.
Did I answer the other question?
Yeah. No.
Okay. I gotta take another call now, because if I answered your other question, I gotta move on to another call. Okay.
Right.
Take care.
You too.
Rolando, good luck.
Rolando Mota.
Okay, where is David? What happened? Okay, we got Katie on the line here. Katie is on line 2 from Westwood. Hello?
Hello?
Hey there, is this Katie?
It's her brother.
Katie's brother.
It's okay. I wanted to talk. I was really calling for him. It's okay.
Oh. So this is Katie?
Yep.
Yes.
I'm here. I asked for my brother. His name is Mitch. So.
Okay. So you called and you talked to my screener and they put you on. So we have to talk to you first, Katie.
Okay, then let's talk.
Okay.
All right.
What's going on?
Nothing. I just have this problem. This is a sexual show, right?
Yes, it is.
Well,
what's the problem?
My first question is, I have this problem. I just can't seem to orgasm when another girl is fingering my ass.
Wow, this is your problem, and you said your brother had a problem.
Your brother has a problem, but this is my problem.
Yeah.
You can't...
There's one problem at
gotcha,
a time.
Gotcha, okay. So, how old are you, Katie?
It's actually my birthday in 18 minutes.
Oh.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay.
How old are you going to be?
I'm going to be 21 years old.
Congratulations.
Mm. So you are an orgasmic girl, other than this
well,
one
do,
way
I
you can't have an orgasm?
Cold tile floor and orgasm, but I just can't seem to do it when a girl has her fingers up my ass. It's the only
when,
one
with
that
a girl.
I can.
Now, are you lesbian or bisexual?
I just kind of bounce around.
You kind of what?
Bounce around.
Bounce around. So if you put your own finger in there, do you have an orgasm?
Yes.
Did she say yes?
She said yes.
Oh, okay. And so there's a girl that has done this to you? And who is this girl?
Well, I can't. I'm not going to...
No, you don't have
you
to
know,
give her name.
You don't have to give her name, but this is a friend. This is someone that you have a relationship with, or...?
No, I wouldn't really call it a relationship. I mean, we fuck other people.
I see. And so, do you have orgasms with her in other ways?
Occasionally.
Okay, so you do from what, oral sex?
All of it, pretty much. I mean, honestly, like, literally when I say I can orgasm from anything else, but that I really mean anything else. Like, we've used corn on the cob, we've used... don't tell my roommate, but we've used his bong.
Wow, that sounds a little dangerous.
we like to live dangerously.
I guess so. Well, then why do you need to do it with a finger if you can do it with all these other things?
You do have a point.
So.
I don't know. We just tried it. You know, it's not like we need to. It just we tried it, and it just wasn't working, you know?
Well, then what did you do? After it wasn't working.
Thanks.
You what?
We moved on. Since it didn't work, we just decided to move on.
Well, that sounds like a good idea, because everything doesn't work at every time, you know. Sometimes a corn cob in the vagina works, sometimes a finger in the butthole, you know. There's different things that work at different times.
Yeah, I guess. It was just a little, you know, upsetting. I was just worried that there may be something wrong with me. It could be... You know, I thought that maybe it had to do with the herpes that I had gotten last year.
Wow. You have herpes.
You know, it's my birthday. I'm getting a little upset just talking about it. I'm going to let you talk to my brother.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Hold on one sec.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, brother.
Hi.
So
what's up with you?
So I got this uke. And it fell on my laptop, and I can't check my sites.
What
happened?
Excuse me?
What happened to your computer?
Hello?
Yes.
What happened? We didn't get that.
Oh, this red ball hit my lap.
I have a feeling this is going to be just as insane as his sister Katie, so.
Okay.
You guys... You keep partying on, okay? And be careful with that bong. It should not go into any of your orifices. All right.
It's available.
Okay.
Okay, and so. tell your sister happy birthday.
Puke.
Yeah, puke. It
falls off the shelf.
Right, okay. So.
Onto my laptop.
Right. I got it.
Yeah,
I got it.
You know, that sounds like you
got
to clean up.
Yeah, you better clean up. I got another call coming in.
Is it working? No. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
These are some people having a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
Trying to come up with everything they can possibly think of that's right. sexual and weird.
And we still have somebody on line 5, it looks like.
Okay.
Does anybody know who's on the line?
There's somebody named Michael in Westwood.
Michael in Westwood. Would that be him? Huh?
I don't know.
Line
Michael
5?
In Westwood.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Is this Michael?
Yeah, what's up?
You are.
Hold on.
So, what did you want to talk about?
All right, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I was calling to let you guys know, like, about my problem.
Go ahead, what's your problem?
And, like, the problem's, like, really complicated, but, like, I'm willing to talk to you about it. Like, I don't think about girls and shit, you know, like, it's, like, I'm a good-looking guy and everything, like, I'm not gonna lie. But, like, lately, it's been hard to fuck, I don't know. Like, in my mind, I've been having doubts about girls, like meeting girls, going out, partying, and all that.
Yeah.
And it's, you, like, if I meet the girl, it's, like, a struggle to fuck.
Well, maybe you are tired of casual sex.
Like, what do you mean? Like, just regular, like, girl sex?
Well, you say if you meet the girl, it's a struggle to have sex.
Yeah, like, I'm not, like... It's not like a game no more. Like, I can't go chase it and have fun.
Well, maybe you're growing up. You know, chasing girls and having fun is not only what life is all about, and it's not only what sex is all about.
Yeah, point, but I don't know. Like, that's what I want. I don't want anything else.
That's what you want more than anything else. Well, not. It doesn't sound like that's what your penis wants. I seem to be hearing from guys who think that they should be real studs tonight.
And
that they should be, like, screwing anything that walks, and then their penis is a lot more discerning and
going,
doesn't necessarily
doing?
Want to do that.
Right.
Yeah, well...
You know, you don't have to get laid every night or even every week to be a stud
no,
or a man.
It's been a year. Like, is that...
It's been a year?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So it's been a year. What do? You go to school?
Huh?
You go to school? What do you do?
Yeah, I go to school.
What are you studying?
I'm studying psychology, SMC.
Okay.
And so you've been... It's been a year since you've had sex?
Yeah, and it's like I recently moved. So I don't know if it's like about like where I've moved or like if I'm tired of like trying. But like, yeah, like, sex. Problem.
So, in what way are you striking out? Are you not getting women to go out with you? Are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so it's not like you can't perform when you get into bed. Is that not the problem? Or
yeah, I
that?
Could do it like all the time.
Okay, because it sounded at first like you were saying you get the woman to go into bed and then you can't perform.
Yeah, that's not the problem. I could do that. Like.
So what is the problem?
The
Let's
point
clarify.
Is like, trying to get the girl.
He can't seem to score. He can't seem to get a date.
Ah, you can't get a date.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's a
like,
whole different problem.
I could get a date, but the thing is, like, I can't go out and, like, be all like, yeah, you know, let's go look for girls. I don't have that, like, in me to, like, go tell my friends and, it's like, yeah, let's go out, party, let's go find girls and stuff. I'm not the way I used to be.
Well,
you know, do you meet girls at school?
Hello?
Hello. Okay.
I think we lost some.
I think so. Well, you know, I mean, there's lots of ways to interact with people.
And there's periods of time. Sometimes, you know, you really don't want to chase. And, you know,
chase and, you know, you're busy with your life and trying to build something.
Yeah.
So maybe he should meet someone at school.
So it's not totally necessary to go chasing girls, you know?
Although it sort of sounds like fun.
Yeah, but I went through periods like that even when I was young.
Uh-huh, where you don't want to chase girls.
Yeah, it's just like you kind of get tired of it and because it's a whole, it's, you know, it takes up a lot of energy.
Right, and it's
and
a little bit futile and frustrating.
And especially when you go out with friends and, you know, and you all come back and nobody's scored. quote unquote.
That's depressing, and then you all have to smell each other.
Right, and then you're all excited, and you're talking, oh, that, wow, she was hot, but nothing happened, so.
Paul has put him, wait a second, everybody is winding up and talking here.
Oh, because I haven't done that.
Okay, so Skypers, if you want to put yourself into the waiting area, Paul, you can come up and say hi. Then we will put you in talking. And Paul is going to say hi. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, hi. How are you, Dave? How are you, Susan?
Good.
I just came in. I don't know. I was immediately in speaking. I don't know why you didn't.
I guess that we hadn't moved everybody down into talking yet. So.
Yeah, exactly. So I was wondering. I thought I got already VIP status and I was very proud, but only for a minute. Did you have to disappoint me like this? Don't explain it, at least. Anyway, I don't know what you're talking. You are already 1 hour on air, I think, no?
Not really.
We started late. We've been on the air 30 minutes. We've been talking.
We might have had the Skype cast open, but we weren't really on. So now we are.
So how are you? All good?
We're doing good. We had a great show last night.
You were in listening last night when we had our Raelians on. What did you think of the Raelians?
I agree to everything. I mean, I don't agree to everything. I respect everything and everyone should think. But I wrote, I don't know if you read it, most probably not. That was the first time, if I can be open, that was the first time I didn't like your show. At all.
Really?
I got really annoyed sometimes, really. I got sometimes even annoyed, and that's very stupid, of course.
No, that's interesting. What did you get annoyed with? What did you get annoyed with?
No, David and Susan, I don't want to go in it. I like your show very much. As you know, I come almost every time when I have time, and I participate also as I can. And... No, I don't.
No, but you can't. Paul. Between friends, okay. hang on. You can't just say suddenly like I didn't like that show. The only show you've ever done I haven't liked, and not say why.
Yeah, we really want to know.
You have to say why.
You're not going to offend us.
I will say it. I try to short recall and say one thing what I didn't like, but I don't want to get in a discussion about it.
Okay, sure. Just say it.
I don't like, for example, it doesn't matter which religion. I don't like if it is criticized in a very brutal or way, because there are people who believe in it. And I live with, as you know, with Christians, with Muslims, with Hindus, Buddhists. And I might not agree totally with something, what they do or what they believe in it, but that's okay, that's then fine with me. I can say, well, I don't believe, and if I want to explain then why in a nice way, well, I don't know if it's necessary, because I should just, I believe for myself, let them believe what they like to believe, and if they do, it's wonderful. It's not foolish to believe something what somebody else thinks is totally foolish. It is not, I believe. It is, you have your free will and your free thinking, and that's the only thing. And I thought it was a little bit, it was a little bit tough what I heard sometimes.
Tough?
And,
we weren't tough on the Raelians.
Criticizing, I think. Critics what were really tough words. And if I might say, David is very, very direct, what I like normally with him. But in this case,
David's anti-Christian diatribes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say this, Paul. I'm not anti-Christian, and I'm not at all. The only time that I become that way is when it involves myself and their imposition of their thoughts on my way of life. And I have a very unusual thing. Actually, it's not very unusual. I was basically prosecuted and persecuted for my ideas, and it was done based on the morality of Christianity. I know a lot of wonderful Christians, but when it involves me being handcuffed and shackled, then I take it very personally. And perhaps, you know, you haven't had that experience. I have had that experience. So I'm tolerant. I would certainly defend anybody's faith, their church, or anything else. I just have some problems when it invades my physical and intellectual and philosophical space, where what I say is not of value. So that, frankly, pisses me off a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, David, I respect 100% what you say, and I can understand it. I can understand it. It's also, you see, it's something like this, what you said. If you experience on your own body, on your own family, on your children, it is worlds different than you just see somebody. Like we have here in Colombo, so many bomb attacks. Today it was again one.
Oh, my goodness.
They bombed the minister and 20 people, I don't know, dead or somewhere. I knew this guy. See, if you hear this, and it is not your family and it's not your friend, well, you get used even to it. You say, well, very bad, and so, and you go on with your life, you go and play tennis, and you talk, and you do whatever you want. And if it is ever, I tell these people who think once only, there is one child of yours killed in this way, he will think 100, if it would be more percent possible, think different about it. And would see totally different. And as you said, you experience on your own body, on your own soul, on your own mind, this thing, you think, of course, different, and you were, of course, and I accept that.
And the other side of it is, Paul, that, you know, it, once again, you know, people come to this place that are Christians, they're Muslims, and I'm absolutely and totally respectful. And but respect goes two ways, you know. And therefore, you know, I had some horrible experiences just as a publisher here in America. And I have never forgotten that, you know, and it's hard to forget.
Yeah.
But I have tried to, you know, my children were taken away because of the work that I did. I mean, they weren't bombed.
And we should say the context in which your kind of outburst occurred, which was that Sarah, who was bringing up some good points with the Raelians, was saying that, you know, her mother just enjoyed her belief in Christianity, and what harm did that do? And
exactly. I remember that.
Yes. That's when it started. It scared me when Brother Dave got so irate. Because
you know, Susan,
he can have a big bad voice, you know, and he's sometimes can use it against me. So I certainly was sympathizing with almost the entire Christian religion, which is not something I'm usually going to do, sympathize with the Christian religion. But Brother Dave got pretty upset, and you know, you could say, well, the Christian religion didn't really put you in shackles or put you in jail. It was actually the U.S. government.
Right.
It wasn't the Christian religion.
But
people.
Certainly based, yeah.
It's
but
people, yeah, David.
No, I understand it's people, but based on a certain morality, a certain philosophy, and it is a philosophy that I don't totally agree with. And on the other hand, you know,
it's not really even the Christian philosophy, because if you look at the philosophy of Jesus, he wouldn't have put you in prison.
No, but it's always the followers that do the damage.
Exactly,
you know,
the
so.
Followers.
Exactly. We have to. I think it has to be said always, because people don't understand sometimes. It is entirely the people who make out of this. You know, I read, for example, the Quran in English and in German, and they are all, in principle, they are all saying the same things, you know. And then people make all kind of bullshit out of it. It doesn't matter which one. I'm not saying now the Quran. I just say that was one example. And what was her name? What she said about, you know, and she said she has so many problems to believe something what she cannot understand. I wanted
Sarah.
To go in and say,
Sarah.
Well, my dear, then you have to acknowledge also that you will never understand more than 90% what is around us, because we cannot explain, and there are so many things who happen And some people get the experience. For example, I got it when I lived in Africa. I saw things. I was just before on a cast, and I told the same story. You know, I saw things. I had time to write it down. I saw voodoo in the jungle with witches. So people can say, oh, bullshit, and all. You have been too long in the sun and whatever. I saw it with my eyes. I wrote it down.
What did you
when
see?
When I read it now, 20 years later, I cannot believe it, you know. I believe it because I know it's true, but it's unbelievable. And then for people who have maybe never been out of their community and have only saw some television and they cannot, they think this is all nonsense and all.
What did you see when you saw the voodoo?
Well, yes, I saw a lot of. Now, voodoo is like choo-choo, it's called in Africa, and the black Africans took it to America,
yeah.
And it was called then voodoo. And I saw, for example, only to say one thing, what I saw. I worked for a while to make this world maybe a little, or put my contribution to a better world, and I built SOS children's villages in Africa. This idea came from Austria, and the founder was, I knew him when he came with $50 starting it. Meanwhile, it's on the whole world. And they asked me when I had a restaurant and bar, you don't want to do something good? I said, well, I worked like an ox, you know, I didn't get rich. I thought, well, that would be interesting. And they sent me to Africa, and I was on the West Coast. And there I was the project manager. I built villages, youth hostels, and. And in one I was, there was a village master, and he was a young man, very healthy, to my opinion. And I got to know, they put voodoo on him. And I saw him dying in 1 week. Okay, you can say, well, he would have died anyway, there's nothing to do with it. Then his brother came, he was maybe 2 years older, and again they put the voodoo on him, and he died in 1 week.
Wow.
And
this is only one thing.
Yeah.
I saw things like, you see, I saw one thing that was, I didn't see it, but I knew people who saw it. There was, you know, a woman said, and now this is very weird, huh? Nobody should ask me that later on, how is this possible or whatever. There was a woman, she was highly pregnant, and she said when she slept in the night, somebody, her husband comes, takes baby out and goes out and murdering other people with these babies. He just takes, in the morning before the sun rises, he comes back, put the baby back in the belly. I know it sounds very weird. And she went to a witchcraft, to a witch, and she said, she saw it without she explaining it, and said, well, if you feel, you will lose your baby, but if you feel in the night that your husband is taking it out and goes out and does all this horrible thing, and he can only do it with the spirit of the baby, just go out and come to me and stay till the sun rises, and you will see your baby will be dead and your husband also, and you will find them dead. But that's what you, if you don't want that, you...
That's what you have to do.
And they were both dead lying there, you know? I mean...
both dead? The baby and the husband?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I saw people, you know, in a part of Africa, there is still, they say, of course, it's not now, it was earlier and only in villages. But I saw when these big chiefs in Ghana, for example, when they die, they bury them on dead heads. They kill people, and the heads they take, and he's lying on these heads because they have to wait till all the relatives and things come if a chief dies.
Mm-hmm.
And then... they take, of course, the youngest, they have many women, and they take the youngest woman, as always, this is clear to her, the youngest one and her children, they will be beheaded, and they will be one part of this thing. So they look, of course, very well after the king, because, very clearly, because
they don't want him to die.
And, exactly. And other people who are strangers in this area, they go out, the things, and they catch these people, cut their head off, and then this king is buried. And this is a fact. This is a fact. It has nothing to do with voodoo. Maybe
right.
with the belief, too, because they believe all these people are going, of course, with this king to the next world, and be the wife, the youngest is there for him, and the children, and the others are the servants. So this is not voodoo. But
no, that's not voodoo. They've been doing that
down.
for for thousands of years. I mean, Egyptian pharaohs would do that.
They do it. Exactly.
There is it's a kind of a horrible tradition among many different cultures. India, women throw themselves in their husband's funeral pyre. So, I mean, you know, voodoo is an interesting subject. And by the way, thank you for those stories. Pretty intense. I don't know. I don't think that they sound like out of this world miracles. They sound like it's using processes that maybe we're not familiar with, just like certain peoples aren't familiar with our modern medicine. We're just not familiar with how all that works, how you can psychologically put a hex on somebody so that they die within a week. I mean, I certainly think that that's possible, to just psych somebody out to the extent that they just kind of can't go on, because they believe in this too.
Listen, you have to believe very strongly in it. That's the willpower, you see. I went to this when I didn't at the beginning, and I know I have a very strong willpower. And I told them, well, you just try to put to me on me a voodoo. Try. I tell you, you will lose because I'm much stronger than you. And it never did, you know.
You don't believe in it.
I believe.
I mean, you kind of do to the extent that you're telling these stories and say, wow, look what happened here. But a lot of this is about a culture or a tribe under a kind of hypnosis that the voodoo leaders put people under, which is in a way what all religious leaders do. I mean, they may shame someone into wanting to commit suicide because of something that is considered wrong in that community. Religious leaders have a lot of power, whether they're voodoo or Christian or Muslim or anything.
I agree with you.
So, I mean...
But I of course, like to be hypnotized better in sex than this thing. So.
As do I. And I kind of have this respect for religions, and I'm a student of religion. I must admit that I'm a little bit like Sarah in the sense... I don't come from a fundamentalist background like Sarah, so I don't have such a vehement anti-religion... kind of position as either Sarah or Brother Dave. I think they both come from, well, they're Christian, you know, Catholic and Christian. So they've been kind of abused by their religion, and they're pretty harmed by it in a way. And so they kind of are lashing out about it. And me, I guess I just think all religion is pretty much stories. I think this alien story is a little bit more kind of kooky for our culture, for our human civilization, than the stories of gods and goddesses and prophets and miracles, all those stories which are just rampant all over all different civilizations are stories that, you know, kind of make your voodoo story sound normal. Stories of virgin birth, stories of people coming back to life who were dead. I mean, these are outrageous, ridiculous stories, but they're accepted as literal gospel by people that believe.
You can see positive things in a negative. Of course, you have experience like Dave. It's very difficult for this religion, whatever he was abused, to have one good feeling. But normally, you can have, even if you don't understand it, you see, you can accept it and or not accept it. You can say, well, he believes in it. And
of course I know what the good feeling is. The basic bottom line good feeling from belief in religious miracles, religious stories, is comfort that when we die, we will not just disappear. That something happens, that something takes care of us. That's the comfort.
Let people believe that if they want to. No, I mean, if you believe something else or I believe something else, that's fine, perfectly fine.
Well, you know, I agree with that, Paul, but I also believe that I can question that and say, why do you believe that?
You can.
Well, one of the reasons I question it as a human being is simply because I you know, I haven't seen these particular miracles. I haven't seen anyone who died come back to life. I haven't seen any evidence of heaven or hell. And I am, to some degree, as I said, a student of religion, and I'm curious. I want to know from these people that believe, how do you believe? Where do you get it from? I'm curious. I'm like the seeker in The Seventh Seal by Ingmar Bergman, the knight whose name is Block, by the way, Antonius Block, who says, I envy those who believe. I don't know, you know, I don't, and he's a religious guy, but he can't believe. He doesn't believe. But here's the key to that movie, and here's the key to my life as well. Even if you don't believe, you can still do good in the world. And even though he doesn't believe, it's not a belief. No, doing good in the world is not a belief, Paul. That's where I differ with you. Because bonobos do good. Other animals, dogs do good. And I don't know that they believe in anything. They do good because it's an instinct, because it's part of who we are. And I think that's what's spiritual about us. That, to me, is something real. The part of us that does good. Because there's another part of us that's also very strong. And that is the tendency to do bad. And I don't think religion stops any of that. And I don't think religion really helps with any of that. I think religion encourages people to do bad and do good. It's a system that makes people feel good, but does it really encourage people to do good? I don't know. I don't really see it. I see it making some people feel good because it tells them stories. I also see it making some people feel good because it gives a community. And then maybe the religion can do good in the form of charity, you know, advice, helping people, you know, whatnot. Yes, the community can do good. But I think there's lots of communities that can do good. It doesn't have to be religion.
Exactly. But you don't believe also that you can take out whatever you believe. You don't have to be fanatic. You take the positive things for you out and the negatives and things what you cannot, you just leave it.
See, here's my suspicion, Paul. Here's my suspicion, and this is why I defend the right of Brother Dave to criticize religion. Even though I'm not quite as critical as he is, I feel his passion and his pain. And the reason is because oftentimes when people believe in these religious stories, these miracles, these creation stories, how the universe was created. Like, we know. Like, we don't know. We don't know. So, you know, whether it came out of, you know, God with his hand striking or sex between gods and goddesses or, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
But people in their effort to comfort themselves, to feel that their life is not meaningless, to feel that their life is meaningful, that they are important, they often become fanatic because, after all, there is no proof of their belief. There is none. So ultimately, we are all in the same shape that I'm in. See, I think all these religious people, all these fanatics, they have just as much doubt as me. And that's why they're fanatic, because they have this doubt. And they're not just fighting other people when they're doing their crusades and their terrorism. They're also fighting themselves. They're also fighting the doubt that's within themselves, the doubt that's within me and Sarah and all of us, because we don't know. We don't know. So all of religion is bullshit.
Okay, Susan, I didn't want to go in this discussion.
I think it's a very, very good discussion.
I listened long time. I was many times on your bonobos. I still
bonobos,
can imagine.
Right.
Maybe it's stupidity. I have no idea what is this. These are animals.
Bonobos are animals. Yes,
what
they are
bonobos?
Very real as opposed to angels. I love angels, but angels are not real. Bonobos are real.
Yeah.
I've seen them in the zoo. They also exist in Africa. They are chimps. Like common chimps, they're 98.9 genetically similar to humans. They're very close to us. They're our cousins on the evolutionary scale. And yes, I am a believer in evolution. So that requires a little bit of belief, but
bonobos.
Science backs me up on it.
B-O-N.
B-O-N-O-B-O.
Bonobo.
So if I do that in a search, I will get information.
Kinds of information. Yeah, B-O-N-O-B-O. You'll probably land first at our friend Sally Cox's site, bonobo.org, which teaches you all about what bonobos are. And you'll eventually get to my site, blockbonobofoundation.org, which goes into more detail about the extraordinary sex lives of bonobos and also how extraordinarily peaceful they are, that they've never been seen killing members of their own species in the wild or captivity, unlike basically other apes, all other apes, including humans.
One thing.
So they give me hope.
Many people say,
kind of a religious type of hope, or spiritual, you could say.
Mm-hmm. That people always say people animals go to have instincts and not the same thing what we have. This is only what we assume, no?
I agree with you. I think that animals have what we have. They just have humans do have these huge brains. It's true. We have a big brain. But animals, certainly...
Elephant has a bigger one.
Elephant?
Elephants have a bigger one, right.
A bigger brain.
You're right. You're right. Okay, so the bigness of the brain.
Why should they not be very similar to us, you know? And maybe they are superior to us.
Maybe.
We assume these things,
I certainly do not assume that humans are superior. I just assume that humans have a certain kind of brain that propels us to build and destroy, to create and destroy. A lot of other animals don't do that. We have this, even bonobos, they create a nest every night to sleep in, sometimes have sex in, but they don't create a house that they remain in. They don't do that.
But,
you know, only humans.
Animals do. If you look at, animals look at this, how do you call these ants in Africa? They build buildings.
Well, you're right. They do that.
Beyond belief.
That's true.
Yeah, they do.
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe they don't destroy as much as we do. That I believe. That's why somebody said, listen to an animal. It's at least no human. You know.
Well, you're right. You're right. Other, bonobos don't build, but you're right. Ants build and termites. Well, I don't know.
Bees.
Birds will build nests that last quite a long time.
Bees build hives, quite complex.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
So I guess that I feel that, if we could learn to speak their language, we would know a lot more. We don't really know how to speak the languages of all these other animals. We think they're stupid.
We don't try.
Our language.
Yeah, we don't try.
Yeah.
We don't try very hard.
We don't use our brain. Yeah, no, we don't. We are full with other things. One thing is sex, what I love to be full with.
Right.
But the other things are, there are so many things, if you concentrate and if you would do it, I believe even you would understand the animal.
And I believe there's another reason we don't try, Paul, and I think you're right about something here, and you're making me think about certain things that I don't always think about. But to say we don't try is not just because we're lazy, but because we don't want to try. Because if we could relate to these animals on an equal level, we wouldn't be able to do what we do in the world. We wouldn't be able to eat them and enslave them and ignore them as we pollute their environments. I think that for the most part, human beings refuse to talk to the animals. I mean, there are some individual exceptions.
To find the frequency.
Right.
To find the frequency.
It's just a radio.
What you need everywhere, whatever you do, the frequency you have to send the same. Otherwise you talk, the other one doesn't hear you. And vice versa, I believe.
But, there are primatologists and there are, all kinds of zoologists that try. I mean, they have their own prejudices, of course, against animals, but they at least are trying to learn, and so, baby step by baby step, humanity, I think, does keep learning. It's a tree of knowledge.
Yep.
And so I'm all for that, I'm all for learning about these animals that we share the earth with. So maybe they can teach us something.
Yeah, that's that I believe anyway. I believe they could teach us. Look, one thing just, the tsunami. You know that all the animals left and didn't die on this tsunami here in Sri Lanka?
Yes, I heard about
because
that.
Because they don't have the instinct or this feeling anymore. They feel it.
They felt
they
it.
they go.
And human beings have lost that frequency. You're right.
Well,
because they didn't know the tsunami was coming. All these animals knew.
I think that humans are even dumber than that. They didn't know that when a tsunami comes, the animals leave, and therefore...
Maybe the humans should pay attention.
Should pay attention that the animals are leaving. For some reason, we should leave too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, correct.
Wow.
Also,
what about dogs? Did dogs... Paul, do people have pet dogs in Sri Lanka?
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Did the dogs leave?
Yes, they left. You know, if they are too close, if you make them almost like humans, you are stupid, and then don't let this dog be a dog also, then, of course, they lose this instinct. And
Some of
them, they died.
Right.
But no wild or...
The wild animals didn't die, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Well...
And another thing with these animals, you know, what is very interesting, because I'm doing a little bit wonderful project in quantum physics. When you find things, you know, they say, when you go and find where these wild animals or even cows are lying overnight, thing, and you go there on this place, these are 100% places of energy. You know, there the energy is very strong because these animals, they feel it. They go there and they rest there to get the most positive energy out of there. And so animals have it. We don't. We destroy even that. We put iron and electric cable around us and have these e-smogs with ticket waves around us. And wonder, one guy said, 80% of the people are sick and the other 20 just don't know it.
Yes. What you're saying reminds me of another principle that is not really biological, but it's sort of like physics. Let's say nature seeks a balance, that if you get really smart in one area, you're almost guaranteed to be really dumb in another area. It's like life can only hold so much. So I just think as humans get very developed in terms of what we do and creating and destroying, we lose our ability that perhaps the animals have. It's almost like it has to follow. The more you develop your brain in one way, the more you're going to lose other brain capacities.
Don't the telephone here. I'm on the cast.
What's that? What, you can't hear?
My daughter.
Oh, your daughter. Oh, I was saying something so, like, profound, and I don't know if I can repeat it. All right.
Anyway. So, let's see. We are now
at an hour. We should wind up.
We're at an hour. Thank you so much, Paul.
Paul, I really enjoyed this, and I want to thank you for, sharing your problem with last night's Skype cast.
And by the way, I'm always very aware when I, I don't actually consider it criticism because I sort of went through the same thing at Yale not too long ago. I just consider it telling of experiences that I've had. And
you do upset people when you do that.
And I'm very aware that
I
upset
want to,
people.
Which is,
and
know.
Sometimes I want to because I want them to start thinking also. And also it's radio. So
I feel like a girl and her dog. You know how like Paris Hilton goes around with her little dog? I go around with my pit bull. His name is Brother Dave.
He's a showman.
He's a showman.
And I'm a very caring, and in fact tonight we had a discussion about cockroaches in the kitchen, and I have come at 65 that I will not even kill a cockroach if I can help it.
That's because they're too fast for you.
Well, not because they're too fast. It's just that I've become like it's just here they are out hunting for food, and they've got families back home, and I've got more food than they could ever eat.
And they're on to a different frequency that maybe we've lost touch with. Maybe we can learn something from the cockroaches.
Cockroaches, I don't know if you know it, they are actually one of the oldest animals.
The oldest.
I mean, they overlived the ice age.
Right.
You put a cockroach in boiling water. He lives in a freezer. Or you cut his head off. I don't know if you know that. That's the only animal I know.
Right.
You cut his head off, and he lives another 1 or 2 days.
Right.
Year.
You have to really smush them to kill them.
No, they are extraordinary creatures.
They are really hardy.
And they are also, which people are very horrified by cockroaches, but they're also the great cleaners. They come and eat all the stuff that your garbage that you've thrown on the floor or on the counter, they come and carry it away.
Yeah, but they're kind of gross. You don't want to eat a cockroach by accident.
No, but you can.
Can you make it?
Yeah, they're full of protein.
They are
you
full
know
of
that.
Protein.
They are.
Vietnamese people eat them or something.
They do in prison too.
Right.
Should we make a show once, the love life of the cockroaches, and love the cockroaches.
Oh boy.
Now what I want to know is if they're cockroaches, are there pussy roaches?
Exactly.
I'm sure
how
there
do
are.
They eat? How often? And do they have time while they eat so much rubbish? Did they have sex also?
Oh, of course they have sex. Why do you think there's all these baby cockroaches running around?
There's hundreds, well, thousands.
So many cockroaches. They're having lots of sex.
No. Some don't have sex. They just do.
Are they like ants where some don't have sex?
Yes.
There's like drones, and then there's the worker cockroaches. Is that how it works?
Or these ones who do it themselves, who are male and female, some animals?
No. I don't know. Are cockroaches more like ants, or are they like regular, like, bugs?
Oh, why you mean ants? They are bigger.
Well,
yeah,
but I mean, what I mean is,
do
ants have a colony, and not most of the ants are workers, and they don't have sex. The queen has sex with the drones, and then she lays a bunch of eggs that the workers take care of. Is that the way cockroaches work? You don't know.
Didn't go so deep into cockroaches.
I'm going to find out. Okay.
Well, now there you go. Here's one of the most ancient animals in the world, and everybody doesn't figure out, how did they do this?
How did they do this?
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we don't even know. I'm gonna look here.
We don't care. We didn't care.
Right. We care now, though, because...
Well, I care. I'm about to look it up. Cockroach...
I'm sure you do, Susan. She made a note. I don't see her, but I can see
her. Yeah, oh, no.
I'm looking it up here.
She's now into these cockroaches.
They are disgusting now. I mean, something about looking at them really makes me want to vomit
maybe
like that.
Maybe he comes up with something that is world revolutionary. You know, you never know.
You never know, right. And they probably have some amazing systems of detection and radars that if our military had them, we'd be highly advanced, really.
Right. Yeah. Well, it doesn't say that they're like the ants or anything. Let me just type in cockroach sex. Let's see.
Cockroach sex.
Cockroach sex.
I can just see them.
I wonder what science there.
Whoops,
yeah.
Whoops, cockroach sex. Okay. Cockroach sex. How do you sex cockroaches? Wait, the science... Okay, amazing cockroach facts. Okay, there's a bunch of cockroach facts here. The Madagascar hissing... Cockroaches have been present on the Earth for more than 400 million years. Approximately 4,000...
And we don't like to learn.
Right, from them.
Approximately 4,000 to 7,500 species of cockroaches exist. And we think we have a lot of races and stuff. They have different species of cockroach. 4,000 to 7,500. But only a very small fraction of these species are considered pests. Okay, I wonder what we consider the other ones. Neighbors?
Neighbors.
The Madagascar hissing cockroach is a large wingless cockroach from Madagascar. The aggressive encounters between males are quite impressive. Males run into each other with their horns and or push each other with their abdomens. Okay, males also hiss during courtship interaction with females. See, I think all these cockroaches have sex. They're not like ants. They do. Again, their behavior is unusual for insects in that strength and sound are used... Mating occurs in an end-to-end position. Although hissing plays an important part in colony hierarchy and courtship interactions, the disturbance hisses that most people are familiar with. Adult males, adult females, and older nymphs hiss when disturbed or handled. These are cockroaches and the bomb.
Maybe I should hiss at them.
These are Madagascar cockroaches, though.
I'm sure these, maybe we don't hear them. So I should go in there and hiss at them and see if they leave.
There are nearly 4,000 species of cockroaches in the world. of which only 25 to 30, or less than 1%, have any pest status. The rest are innocent members of the Earth's fauna, some of which are clean, living, non-aggressive, and slow-moving, and as such make great pets.
All right.
I will talk with the next cockroaches who come here in, as they don't kill you.
And these are probably the ones...
Show me what you want.
Right. What is up with you? What do you need?
Right. Cockroaches are considered one of the most successful groups of animals. Successful groups of animals, because they are so adaptable, cockroaches have adjusted to living with humans much more readily than humans have adjusted to living with them. That's right. They make good neighbors, but we don't.
Yeah.
Cockroaches usually reproduce sexually, but in times of crisis when males are scarce, females can reproduce by a process known as parthenogenesis. They can produce offspring all female with no help from males.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
possible. That's interesting, no?
Oh, that's amazing.
I have heard about animals who do it, male and female, and I have heard about animals who do it themselves. But animals who have male and female and can do it themselves, the females, I have never ever heard in my life. Have you?
No, and it's
and they can.
And it's in times of crisis. So, I suppose if there's a flood, a pesticide truck.
Why is it almost impossible to squish a cockroach before it shoots out of sight behind the refrigerator, while it is often quite easy to zap it with the nozzle of a vacuum cleaner? What is the answer to that question? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay, but isn't that true?
That's true.
Okay, the answer is that the jet-propelled bug thinks with its behind. The cockroach, he says, is able to sense minute changes in the air flowing around its body using tiny hairs on two posterior appendages called cerci, and that includes your foot coming down. Signals from those hairs feed into a group of 14 vital nerve cells which process the information. The result, now you see it, now you don't. The vacuum cleaner, however, has even smart cockroaches fooled. If a vacuum cleaner approaches from behind a cockroach, the wind goes from its head to the nozzle. It thinks the attack is from the front, and it turns round and runs straight into the nozzle.
Wow, interesting.
So, we can get those cockroaches.
See, but what did we learn out of this story now? You know that we human beings have a lot in common with these cockroaches, because many of the human beings also think with their behind or ass.
There you go. Especially that woman that called me to begin with in the show, who wanted to know why she couldn't come with her girlfriend's finger up her ass. Anyway, we do think with our ass a lot, and that's why we call people assholes. So, on that note...
I'll let you stop it.
Okay, Paul. It's been a pleasure tonight, Paul.
Always.
We haven't had a good long talk with you for a while, so it was fun to do that.
That was fun.
It was nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Take care.
And be nice to those cockroaches now.
Right. And we'll try to be nice to the religious people, the Christians.
And I tell them greetings from you too.
Yes, by all means. And they've probably heard of me as the great American guru who loves cockroaches and respects them.
Okay.
And I do. Take care, Paul.
Take care. So, could I say that I received a message from God through a cockroach?
You could.
But people wouldn't be as impressed with that as going onto a spaceship.
No.
Interesting. But cockroaches to me are more interesting than spaceships, actually, because they're right here. I don't know. I don't know. The spaceships I got a problem with. I'd like to believe in spaceships, but I haven't seen one, except in movies. So, in the meantime, bonobos, cockroaches, the whole big, beautiful world, there's so much to learn from, so much to be inspired by. I don't know. I find that
and so
incredibly
little,
inspirational.
So little time.
And so little time, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
So speaking of time, we are out of it, and we'll be back again Monday. In the meantime, be good, be happy. Follow the bonobo way. You can all have your religions, believe in Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Brahma, Rael, aliens, whatever you like. But in terms of Earth, follow the bonobo way. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
From Los Angeles, California, you've been listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web with Dr. Susan Block. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go to drsusanblock.com and to our archives. And we have about a year, a little over a year of archives since we started the live broadcast. Boy, time flies. And from our house to your house, thank you for having us. Peace be with you, and just take care. We're going to go ahead and play a past show for you, so you can either hang out or do whatever you do at this time in the morning or late at night or wherever you are. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
You ask.
And Esther, you ask him to come to dinner, him and Haman.
I want you to come to dinner.
Come
with
to dinner.
You and Haman.
Yep.
And my cousin.
Okay. So dinner is right now. Haman, come into dinner. Haman's all excited. He's been invited to dinner with the queen and the king. And we have a lovely